We're starting chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, called The Very Secret Diary. Hermione remained in the hospital wing for several weeks. There was a flurry of rumor about her disappearance when the rest of the school arrived back from their Christmas holidays, because of course everyone thought she had been attacked. So many students filed past the hospital wing trying to get a glimpse of her, that Madame Pomfrey took her curtains again and placed them around Hermione's bed to spare her the shame of being seen with a furry face. Harry and Ron went to visit her every evening. When the new term started, they brought her each day's homework. "If I'd sprouted whiskers, I'd take a break from work," said Ron, tipping a stack of books onto Hermione's bedside table one evening. "Don't be silly, Ron. I've got to keep up," said Hermione briskly. Her spirits were greatly improved by the fact that all the hair had gone from her face, and her eyes were slowly turning back to brown. "I don't suppose you've got any leads," she added, in a whisper, so that Madame Pomfrey couldn't hear her. "Nothing," said Harry gloomily. "I was so sure it was Malfoy," said Ron, for about the 100th time. "What's that?" said Harry, pointing to something gold sticking out from under Hermione's pillow.
"Just a get-well card," said Hermione hastily, trying to poke it out of sight, but Ron was too quick for her.
Gilderoy. He
pulled it out, flicked it open, and read aloud. "To Miss Granger, wishing you a speedy recovery from your concerned teacher, Professor Gilderoy Lockhart, Order of Merlin, Third Class, Honorary Member of the Dark Force Defense League, and 5-time winner of Witch Weekly's Most Charming Smile Award." Ron looked up at Hermione, disgusted. "You slept with this under your pillow?" But Hermione was spared answering by Madame Pomfrey, sweeping over her with an even dose of medicine. "Is Lockhart the smarmiest bloke you've ever met, or what?" said Harry to Ron as they left the infirmary and started up the stairs toward Gryffindor Tower. Snape had given them so much homework, Harry thought it was likely to be in the 6th year before he finished it. Ron was just saying how he wished he had asked Hermione how many rat tails you were supposed to add to the hair-raising potion when an angry outburst from the floor above reached their ears. "That's Filch," muttered Harry, as they hurried up the stairs and paused out of sight, listening hard. "You don't think anyone else has been attacked?" asked Ron tersely. They stood still, their heads inclined toward Filch's voice, which sounded quite hysterical. "Even more work for me, mopping all night like I haven't got enough to do. No, this is the final straw. I'm going to Dumbledore." His foot receded along the out-of-sight corridor, and they heard a distant door slam. They poked their heads around the corner. Filch had clearly been manning his usual lookout post. They were once again at the spot where Mrs. Norris had been attacked. They saw at a glance what Filch had been shouting about. A great flood of water stretched over half the corridor, and it looked as though it was seeping from under the door of Moaning Myrtle's bathroom. Now that Filch had stopped shouting, they could hear Myrtle's wails echoing off the walls. "Now what's up with her?" said Ron. "Let's go and see," said Harry, and holding up their robes over their ankles, they stepped through the great wash of water to the door bearing its out-of-order sign, ignored it, as always, and entered. Moaning Myrtle was crying, if possible, louder and harder than ever before. She seemed to be hiding down her usual toilet. It was dark in the bathroom because the candles had been extinguished in the great rush of water that had left both walls and floor soaking wet. "What's up, Myrtle?" said Harry. "Who's that?" gulped Myrtle miserably. "Come to throw something else at me?" Harry waded across to her stall and said, "Why would I throw something at you?" "Don't ask me," Myrtle shouted, emerging with a wave of yet more water, which splashed onto the already sopping floor. "Here I am, minding my own business, and someone thinks it's funny to throw a book at me." "But it can't hurt you if someone throws something at you," said Harry reasonably. "I mean, it'd just go right through you, wouldn't it?" He had said the wrong thing. Myrtle puffed herself up and shrieked. "Let's all throw books at Myrtle, because she can't feel it. 10 points if you can get it through her stomach. 50 points if it goes through her head. Well, ha ha ha, what a lovely game, I don't think." "Who threw it at you anyway?" said Harry. "I don't know. I was just sitting in the U-bend thinking about death, and it fell right through the top of my head," Myrtle said, glaring at them. "It's over there. It got washed out." Harry and Ron looked under the sink where Myrtle was pointing. A small, thin book lay there. It had a shabby black cover and was as wet as everything else in the bathroom. Harry stepped forward to pick it up, but Ron suddenly flung out an arm to hold him back. "What?" asked Harry. "Are you crazy?" said Ron. "It could be dangerous." "Dangerous?" said Harry, laughing. "Come off it. How could it be dangerous?" "You'd be surprised," said Ron, who was looking apprehensively at the book. "Some of the books the Ministry's confiscated, Dad told me, there was one that burned your eyes out, and everyone who read Sonnets of a Sorcerer spoke in limericks for the rest of their lives, and some old witch in Bath had a book that you could never stop reading. You just had to wander around with your nose in it, trying to do everything one-handed." "And, all right, I've got the point," said Harry. The little book lay on the floor, nondescript and soggy. "Well, we won't find out unless we look at it," he said, and he ducked around Ron to pick it up off the floor. Harry saw at once that it was a diary, and the faded year on the cover told him it was 50 years old. He opened it eagerly. On the first page, he could make out the name T.M. Riddle in smudged ink. "Hang on," said Ron, who had approached cautiously and was looking over Harry's shoulder. "I know that name. T.M. Riddle got an award for special services to the school 50 years ago. "How on earth do you know that?" said Harry, to amazement. "Because Filch made me polish his shield about 50 times in detention," he said resentfully. "That was the one I burped slugs all over. If you'd wiped slime off a name for an hour, you'd remember it too." Harry peeled the wet pages apart. They were completely blank. There wasn't the faintest trace of any writing in them. Not even Auntie Mabel's birthday or dentist 3:30. "He never wrote in it," said Harry, disappointed. "I wonder why someone wanted to flush it away," said Ron, curiously. He turned to the back cover of the book and saw the printed name on the variety store, of a variety store on Vauxhall Road, London. "He must have been muggle-born," said Harry thoughtfully, "to have bought a diary from Vauxhall Road." "Well, it's not much use to you," he said. He dropped his nose. 50 points if you can get it through Myrtle's nose. Harry, however, pocketed it. Hermione left the hospital wing, de-whiskered, tailless, and fur-free, at the beginning of February. On her first evening back in Gryffindor Tower, Harry showed her T.M. Riddle's diary and told her the story of how they had found it. "Ooh, it might have hidden powers," said Hermione enthusiastically, taking the diary and looking at it. "If it has, it's hiding them very well," said Ron. "Maybe it's shy. I don't know why you didn't chuck it, Harry." "I wish I knew why someone did try to chuck it," Harry said. "I wouldn't mind knowing how Riddle got an award for special services to Hogwarts, either." "Could have been anything," said Ron. "Maybe he got 30 owls, or saved a teacher from a giant squid. Maybe he murdered Myrtle. That would have done everyone a favor." But Harry could tell from the arrested look on Hermione's face that she was thinking what he was thinking. "What?" said Ron, looking from one to the other. "Well, the Chamber of Secrets was opened 50 years ago, wasn't it?" he said. "That's what Malfoy said." "Yeah," said Ron slowly. "And this diary is 50 years old, said Hermione, tapping it excitedly. "So?" "Oh, Ron, wake up," said Hermione. "We know the person who opened the chamber last time got expelled 50 years ago. We know T.M. Riddle got an award for special services to the school 50 years ago. What if Riddle got a special award for catching the heir of Slytherin? His diary would probably tell us everything. Where the chamber is, how to open it, what sort of creature lives in it. The person who's behind the attacks this time wouldn't want that lying around, would they?" "That's a brilliant theory, Hermione," said Ron. "Just one tiny little flaw. There's nothing written in his diary." But Hermione was pulling out her wand out of her bag. "Might be invisible ink," she said. She tapped the diary 3 times and said, "Aparicium." Nothing happened. Undaunted, Hermione shoved her hand into the bag and pulled out what appeared to be a bright red eraser. "It's a revealer. I got it in Diagon Alley," she said. She rubbed hard on January 1st. Nothing happened. "I'm telling you, there's nothing to find in there," said Ron. "Riddle just got a diary for Christmas and couldn't be bothered filling it in." I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that beautiful kitchen. And when you're listening to this later, I hope you sleep well. Sweet dreams, darling. Good night.